Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call, I talk to one of them, they stay anonymous, I can't hang up, that's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today, Beautiful Anonymous.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump. Right in today's episode, we answered live callers' questions. People called in. We got to help them out on air. But this was after our intro portion. Today's intro is 49 minutes long. That's when we talk about current events. We talk about family life. We bring up studies around fitness. It's a good time. By the way, if you want to be considered for an episode like this one where you call in, email us your question at live@mindpumpmedia.com. By the way, I mentioned in the intro the Squat Like a Pro guide. It's free. You can get it at mindpumpfree.com. Now, this episode is brought to you by some sponsors. The first one is Paleo Valley. Today, we talked about their salted caramel bone broth protein. It's so delicious. It's so good. I actually emailed them and said, are you sure there's no sugar in this? And they said, yeah, there's no sugar. It's the best tasting protein I've ever had in my entire life. And right now you can get up to 35% off plus a free gift on orders over $75. Go to paleovalley.com/mindpump. This episode is also brought to you by Organifi. Today we talked about their starter kit. You get 7 days of their green juice, their red juice, 30 days of their essential magnesium capsules, and you get an Organifi shaker bottle. It's a great way to start yourself off to see which one works best for you. Go check them out. Go to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump, get 20% off. Also, it's December. This is the new sale. Ready? MAPS Aesthetic and MAPS Symmetry, two very popular workout programs. Both 50% off. If you're interested, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and then use the code DECEMBER50 for the discount. All right, here comes the show.
T-shirt time! And it's t-shirt time.
Oh, shit, Doug. You know, my favorite time of the week.
Yes, it is. One winner this week. Only one winner for Apple Podcasts. Nobody for Facebook. So please leave a review. If you heard your name, which is Sky Day for Apple Podcasts, send your name, the one I just read, to iTunes at mindpumpmedia.com. Include your shirt size and your shipping address, and we'll get that shirt right out to you.
So let's say you decide to do 100 squats every single day. What happens to your body? Some pretty cool stuff.
Ooh,
talk about this.
You get stronger.
If somebody, thanks. You give away the first one for sure. Yeah. Actually, you know, a lot of people, it sounds obvious, but then you have a lot of people like, oh, you can't do that every day type of deal. You have to do them the right way, right? I think 100 squats all at once is probably not a good idea, but spread out throughout the entire day, you for sure will get stronger.
Well, you can easily overtrain if you mishandle the intensity.
That's right.
Yeah. That's the key. I think you could even do, because that's 10 sets of 10.
That's it.
So 10 sets of 10.
That would be the best way to do it, in my opinion.
Very, very doable in a workout. So this is actually how I used to, which was a mistake, by the way. Just want to put that out there first.
Yeah.
How I would come back to the gym. Like if I had fallen off for a month or two and I was getting back, I used to, that first workout was 10 sets of 10, but it was like with like 135.
No, that's too much.
Just blast me. That was back in the days when we, you know, measured our workout efficiency by how sore you got, which was a terrible measure. But I absolutely think that strategy would have been smart, but I probably could have done body weight. Mm-hmm. I could have done body weight for probably the first week and then the bar and then 10 pounds. And that would be the key, is to actually stair step it very slowly, and then I think it would be unbelievable.
So there's two kinds of people that hear this right now. One would be the beginner, and the other would be the person who's already fit and already exercised. Let's address the person who already works out, right? So somebody who hears this is like, okay, 10 sets of 10 body weight squats, what's that going to do for me? I already work out really hard. Well, it's not intense at all. It's actually a low intensity type movement for you. But you can add it to your current routine. It's not going to cause more damage. It won't hamper your recovery. If anything, it's going to facilitate recovery. and it should improve your strength in your traditional leg workouts. So if you're already fit and you did, let's say, 10 squats 10 times a day for 100, you know, days in a row or 30 days in a row or whatever, you would notice benefits. You would notice strength gains. Now, to the beginner who's not working out, this is actually a little bit of a workout. Now, it's not hard, again, for the average person, 10 squats 10 times a day, not that hard, a little higher intensity for someone who doesn't work out, but you will notice this wonderful progression in strength. Now, the key isn't to do more squats. Like to say, okay, I did 100 today, tomorrow I'm doing 200. No, don't progressively overload this. Just be consistent, practice them on a daily basis. And the first thing you'll notice is the squats initially will feel harder, but after day 5, 7 or so, you'll start to feel easier as your strength starts to improve.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. The second thing, now this is where the real benefit happens, is you'll improve insulin sensitivity. This essentially means you're going to make your hormones, or one of your hormones in particular, and I say hormones because insulin actually has an effect on all the other hormones. As you become more sensitive to insulin, your growth hormone levels tend to become more effective. It's great for fat burning. Estrogen or progesterone tend to get balanced out in women because there's a very strong connection between insulin insensitivity and things like estrogen dominance, which some women suffer from. As you do these squats all day long, you are literally sucking sugar out of your bloodstream and pumping it into your muscles. And muscles are very insulin sensitive. So you do this throughout the day, especially post-meal or post-prandial. You'll have an improvement in insulin sensitivity, which means your body's going to be primed to burn body fat, primed to build muscle. And just from a health perspective, you're just going to be a lot healthier and feel a lot better.
Yeah. And not just from the movement too. It's just, this was like an old bodybuilder thing. So you would eat and then you would instantly do what you call trigger sessions right afterwards. Yes, that's how they get ready before they get ready to get on stage, right? Right before you get on stage, you eat something like high glycemic, right? And then within 30 minutes, you're doing arm pumps and push-ups and bodyweight squats and just shuttling all that glycogen.
It's funny how that like bodybuilder and bro science stuff like comes back and you're like, oh, wow, there's some value there.
There's it's what it was, and why it gets a bad rap is the way it was communicated.
They didn't explain it right.
Because
they didn't know why it worked.
It's actually really unfortunate. And I know we've talked a little bit about this on the show before I think we did didn't we do an episode on bro science that works or something like that? Like, that was a good episode.
Valuable bro science.
Because a lot of it is true. The way it was communicated was incorrect. But the problem with that is everybody threw it out. Or, oh, yeah, that's stupid. Oh, that's bro science. It's like, well, wait a second. They didn't communicate the science part of it, but there's a lot of value in some of these things. And there's a reason why it's been done in the bodybuilding world for decades, because it's been proven to work.
Right.
But what
they just didn't know how it worked.
They didn't know how to communicate it really well. Uh-huh. And so then you have the science geeks that want to shit all over it just to feel like they're smarter and better.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's like, well, there's like a lot of truth to what they're doing. It's just explained.
To get too far into that, that particular topic, but when you have one anecdote, I don't think you should place much value on that. When you have thousands and thousands and thousands of anecdotes over decades, sometimes hundreds of years, by the way, you look at ancient forms of medicine like Ayurvedic medicine, Chinese medicine, you know, a lot of this is hundreds of years. Some of it you could go back as far as 1,000 or longer years. And there might not be any double blind placebo controlled studies yet to support what they found. But when you have that many anecdotes over that many years, it's pretty trustworthy that the effect that they say is going to happen is probably going to happen. So with bodybuilders, you had at least decades of experience doing certain things and saying, hey, this makes me leaner. This helps me build more muscle. They just didn't know how to explain it.
Funny. It kind of reminds me of like our culture now. It like relies so much on reviews and relies so much on your peers and people that you know, like to be able to validate it for you. And it's like, why should it be that much different? I mean, obviously, you know, the science is kind of leads and directs you there in that direction, or can explain the physiology or whatever. But at least having people that have gone through the experience of it, like that plays some
value. Especially when there's a lot of it, right?
Yeah.
And again, now doing 10 sets of 10 squats a day, body weight squats, if you looked at the calorie burn, it's not a lot of calories, especially if you consider how the body adapts to calorie burn. Lots of studies show this. The body's very good at learning how to burn less calories when you start to burn more calories, except through maybe the metabolism boosting effect of muscle building. And yet doing this will get people leaner. That's the third point. You'll get leaner. What is going on? Is it the excess calorie burn? That's part of it. But the other part of it, which is big, is the hormone optimization effects, the insulin sensitizing effects. And what it does is it changes how your body uses calories. So when your body becomes more insulin sensitive, when you're sending a signal to your body to say get stronger and build muscle, your body takes those calories instead of storing, it tends to go to building. And so you start to get leaner as a result. This is a very effective way to get leaner, is to simply add a little bit of low intensity strength training throughout the day. This is actually, I called this trigger sessions in the first MAPS program. It was something similar. It was like three times a day you would do these band workouts. And the way people mess them up is they did them too intensely. That's how you'll mess this up, right? If you do this and you're trying to make it into a workout where you're sweating and you know, working real hard every day, it's not going to work very well. But if you just throw it into your daily routine to where you're at through the end of the day, adding up to 100 squats a day, and it feels somewhat easy, you're doing something, but somewhat easy, you'll notice all these effects of building muscle, getting stronger, burning body fat, improving insulin sensitivity, which, by the way, you could measure with a CGM. So if anybody has a CGM, test this out. Watch what happens to your blood sugar levels just by doing this. By the way, this will do more for that than taking all that cumulative work and putting it in one workout, because it's spread out throughout the entire day. You tend to get a better effect. So I love tips like this.
I would add, for these reasons. I would add one. And I think we've talked about this many times on the podcast, and that is the value of just practicing the technique of a movement.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And since the squat is the king of all movements,
especially a fundamental movement.
That's like that. Right. And you get so much bang for your buck. It's one of the most technical movements. Just the repetition of doing it every single day like that, I mean, you're really greasing the groove. And so when you do start to load the days that you do load, man, you're just going to be that much better and more capable. And there's so much value you just get from that.
Translates to everything. Right. I mean, we stand upright, you know, and that whole base of support is, you know, it's all based upon how much strength you have with your lower body. And this is the way to address it.
I never did this like for a client, but I used to do things like this where I used to have them, they'd have like this booklet of stickers. And I'd have them put the stickers throughout the house, and there'd be like one on the refrigerator, one on their bathroom mirror. And when they would see it, I'd say, you every time you see that sticker, you have to do 10 squats.
Yeah.
And so that was just like a thing that we would do. That's so great. I'm sure it ended up being something like that. You know, they probably after the entire day saw that, you know, somewhere between 5 to 10 times. So they're getting 50 to 100 squats every day. And just, I saw tremendous value in it.
And that course, daily practice.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference. This reminds me of a story. When I went to visit my father's family in Sicily, I went when I was a real young kid, but the first time I really remember, I was 12. And I remember visiting them, and we went to visit an aunt of mine that lived in this like small town next to the town that my dad's from. So my dad's from a town called Bagheria, which is a larger city, but there was a smaller town. And in this smaller town, a lot of the houses, first of all, some of the roads are so narrow that if you drive your car through, people would sit outside their house. They'd have to stand up against the wall and let the car through. So these are old towns, right? And some of these houses are old, and they're up on these hills, and you live on a particular floor, and you got to go up all these flights of stairs. Well, anyway, my aunt was old. She was, at the time, she had to have been in her 70s. And I remember walking with her to the town square to get groceries. But we had to walk downhill to get to this place and then walk back uphill. And I'm a 12-year-old boy. I remember walking out, you know, following her, and she's just trucking up this hill. I don't remember how far it was, but it was enough for me as a 12-year-old boy to be like getting tired. And then we'd have to go up two or three flights of stairs. And I remember my dad looking at me and kind of laughing, and he goes, "She does this every day." Every single day she does this. And it just maintained her strength and her fitness because it was a daily practice. And it wasn't hard work for her at this point. Yeah. She'd been doing it for
Isn't that one of the most common things in the blue zones? Is just daily movement. The way the cities and the community is structured there's a lot of like just actual activity movement, not necessarily organized exercise, but just like
it's in your life.
Yeah.
It's in your daily life. Yeah. That's what we're trying to do with something like this. By the way, we have a guide that teaches you how to squat like a pro for anybody's interested. It's a free guide. We created it because so many people have questions around squatting like a pro, or how to squat effectively. So we have that up. And speaking of workouts, we had I don't know what year it is. I want to say maybe 15 year. Now we've done this, the post Thanksgiving workout.
Wow. That many times, huh?
I think it might be 15 years. The earliest photo I could find was from 12 years ago, but I think I did it like 2 or 3 years before that.
Oh, wow.
Where we just didn't take a picture. But yeah, so it was my cousins and I, we do this every year after Thanksgiving. It turned into this like tradition where we have Thanksgiving. And
who can lift what?
My cousins, my brother, and myself get together and we do a workout. And then we typically would grab food afterwards. Yeah. So today was, or this was the, I think the 15th one. It was a lot of fun. But it's funny how the workouts have progressed throughout the years. Like it was very competitive early days.
When you were younger.
Yeah, we're like, you know, now the workouts are.
Now it's like mobility. Bro, for the first half hour.
What does it look like?
It opens with excuses. So it's like.
setting the table. Oh, man, fires. I pulled my back last week. Bro,
people are showing up already. Oh,
my neck's got a kink.
Dude. Yeah, you know, my back and my shoulder, you know, I can't really do this exercise or that exercise. And then one of my cousins over there doing like 30 minutes of shoulder rehab stuff because he can't do the stuff that we're doing. And then it's the same shit talk, right? It's the same, like, you're fat, you're old, you can't do this. Like, we just make fun of each other and, you know, it's a good time, but it's fun, man.
Because you've been coming here now, because it used to be at your own gym.
I started in my personal training studio.
Since we've had this place, have you come every year?
Every year. Oh, no, 1 year I did it at my garage.
When there was a year you didn't do it.
Yeah, but we did this one. But it's funny, I pulled up the oldest picture I have. I think it's 12 years old, maybe. And I looked at that picture versus this one, and I sent it to it because we're on a group thread.
Yeah.
And I sent it, and of course, the shit talking, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you had so much more hair, and you look like you ate old you, and this and that. It's so bad. But it's so fun. It's such a great, I think traditions are so important. Because they get you to do things you might not normally organize. Like, it's not common that all of us get together, just us guys. Like, these days, if we get together, it's family, we got our kids. Mm-hmm. But this is probably the only time of year where it's just us fellas getting together and just, you know, hanging out.
It's so important to have those, because everybody, at some point in your life, you and all your friends and your family get really busy. And it's like one thing to have, you know, meet up with a friend or a family member, but to organize 5, 6, 10, 20 people, I mean, it becomes really difficult if you have not established tradition. Yeah. Like, that's something that's so important to me with Max as he grows up, as I didn't have a lot of that. I had a little bit of it. And some of that was with my friends.
With their families.
Their families. And I valued that so much, you know? And so.
What a gift that you've turned that into. You notice the value in it because of the discrepancy.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than not doing it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Type of deal. Yeah, no. So it's just been something that it's like, okay, this is something that I want to make sure that I do with men. In fact, speaking of that, that's.
Before we go, I got to tell you guys what happened while we were in here. You guys will like this. Well, two things. One, my brother he's such a horse. The guy never works out. He comes in here, throws up 225 on the bench. I think he did like 13 times.
Wow.
And I'm like, what is
serious?
Yeah, dude, he doesn't even work out, dude.
He just has it on reserve.
It's so wild when people have people like that too.
Yeah.
He's just a strong ass dude who doesn't even work
out.
Like,
that's really strong though. It's like one thing to be kind
of. Bro, I hit it. I did that. I think I did a rep or two more than he does. And I work out all the time, bro. And he just, you know, he's a moose. But anyway. They come in. They love the studio, by the way. They're talking about how great it looks. And
oh, yeah. It's totally changed since the last time you guys.
Kudos to Justin Justin organized our studio, make it look just so great. But then they walk in that back room over there where you guys have your driving
simulator.
Your video game.
It's not a video game.
And
yeah.
Of course.
Serious.
Oh, they were like, what?
Well, your cousins are all into cars and
everybody,
stuff.
They're like you guys, right? Yeah. They love cars. So they're like, oh, my God, you got one of these. Sal, please come on, show me how to use it, whatever. I'm like, I don't know how to turn it on. What? So I told him the whole story about whatever. I'm like, listen, here's a problem. If I let you guys use it, it's like $300 an hour.
I was going to start charging admission here.
Hey, so they were trying to FaceTime Adam. They were going to ask him.
They were.
He didn't answer the phone, though. Yeah. They were going to FaceTime. But for a good 20 minutes, they were talking crap. You're so stupid. You don't use this. What's wrong with you? You're so cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's video
Most people get excited about something like Sal.
And they're giving the same points. Bro, people train on these, and then they go race real cars.
You did have an ally the other day when Brett and Shalene came to the studio, and I thought, because I told Katrina, I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to tell Brett. Yeah. I'm going to show him the podium one, because I bet he's not going to want to sit and listen to his wife. He's listened to her interview a million times. He'll want to do that. And I'm like, hey, bro, come just a sec. And he's like, oh, no, I don't do video games.
Yeah. I know. I was surprised.
So vindicated for a minute there. You know,
yeah. Like, until like, my family turned on me.
Yeah. And then they all flipped on
literally, you're so dumb, you know, this whole time. Like, all right, I heard every word called, you know, they called me every word he could think of.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, where are you going? You were going to say something.
We're just talking about traditions. And So I just decided that, like, okay, there's this. So Katrina has a lot of these traditions too with her family. And I always have to remind myself, it doesn't matter how many years, we're 14 years together now, that when I come into this week, that once she gets into family mode, and I don't know if you're like this. I don't know if it's more like, because the chicks do a lot of the decorating probably in your family. I don't know if you do any of this, but the week of Thanksgiving, like, I better be prepared for my wife being busy and not her normal self of, like, taking care of me and everything like that she normally does. So, because it becomes about, I mean, I'm not kidding. It's like, there's several days dedicated to the decor that goes on the table, you know,
wow.
She goes and rents it every year. It's a whole different theme.
And the family guy does it together.
All the women get together. Oh, wow. All the women get together on the night before, and they drink, and they, I mean, it's an all day kind of a party, yeah, straight decor thing, but that's that day alone. That's, she's gone doing that. Mm-hmm. And then there's days leading up to that of preparing for that and the stress that comes with figuring it out and making sure. Oh yeah. And I'm still, one, don't come from a lot of tradition. Two, not the big family thing. So it doesn't matter that I'm on.
Are you at home on mad? Just,
yeah, I in the past.
Who's going to rub my back?
You're right. That's, you know, just complete transparency. I'm a fucking Grinch, right? And I'm like, and this year I was really motivated to flip that. I'm like, you know what? I don't know why I get like this. I know it's fucking coming every year. Yeah. Why am I acting surprised?
I still relate to that, dude.
Oh, so are you like, I'm going to be thankful?
Yeah. So I'm just like, you know what? Like, instead, I'm going to, like, this is going to be a tradition for me and my son.
Wow.
Like, I'm like, you know what? This is because she goes and does that. And instead of me making it all about me and being butthurt about it, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to flip this into like a, this is going to be our thing. Like, him and I are going to be excited. And so,
what'd you guys do?
Well, here's what. So Katrina's rule in the house is that no Christmas before Thanksgiving. Right. So, like,
no Christmas decorations.
Yeah. No Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving is still, you know, fall pumpkins, that theme and stuff like that. And Max just like, Thanksgiving's boring. Like, can we get to Christmas? Like, so he's always nudging, and I'm like, I'm like, you know, prodding and making it worse. You know, like, man, I wish there was Christmas stuff right now too. And so he's bugging her, and she's like giving me the dirty look and everything like that. And so the night that she's going to go, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make this whole day about him and I. And since it's the day before Thanksgiving, right? I tell him, I go over, because he's all, where are you going, mommy? Oh, I'm going over to go do Thanksgiving stuff like that. Well, what am I going to do? And I lean over to him. I said, hey, I said, you and I will do Christmas decorations when mom leaves.
No.
Yeah, yeah. And you see him light up, and I'm looking at him, I'm like this. And he's like, okay. And then like, he's like shooing her out the door the rest of the night. He's like, bye, mom. Bye, mom. See, she's looking at him all weird.
Did he,
like,
actually keep it a secret?
Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, wow. He kept it under wraps, right? So he gets her out the door, and man, he was just so excited. And he's like, just blah, 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 talking like crazy. Daddy will do this, and daddy will do that, and daddy will do this. And I'm like, yeah, it's okay. So we made the whole night about, and I mean, he got popcorn and ice cream, and we watched Christmas movies, and we put up all the blow ups. And so, but I'm pulling it up, and boy, God, I had this moment, dude, where I literally almost like cried, because he was so excited to do all that. It was a moment where I was telling you that I'm just, like I said, I'm flipping the script. I'm not going to be negative or, you know, frustrated about her taking off all day. It's like, you know, this is her tradition. Let her enjoy it. We're going to make our own, trying to be present in the moment. So that, so totally enjoying the moment. And right before Katrina leaves, she sees me grab the box that has this snowman thing in it. And she goes, if you're going to mess with that, be patient. And I'm like, huh? Like, I didn't even get what she meant until I opened the box and realized it was her who probably put it away, because it's all fucking tangled up in knots and shit like that. And I'm sitting there and I'm putting it together with him, and I'm just like, oh my God. Inside, I'm frustrated, but he's so excited and happy. I'm not letting him see it or anything like that. And I'm sitting there tinkering with it, and he's talking some of that. And then he stops for a second, and I'm still listening. And he looks at me, and he walks over to me, and he just gives me this big hug and just holds me.
Oh.
Doesn't say a word, anything like that. Just big old hug, held me, and I went, oh my God, bro.
Do you think he could tell that you were
frustrated? 100%, dude. He's
wow, he's such a sensitive kid.
He's so in tune like that, it trips me out. Like, I swear to God, I didn't have a look on my face. Nothing. I was totally like, he's in a good mood.
That's beautiful.
But inside, I'm like, motherfucker. I can't believe she put it away like this. I'm thinking that in my head, but I'm not showing it. I'm doing my thing, you know, and keeping him happy. And he just had this moment where he stops and he walks over, cuts right in front of me in the middle of what I'm doing.
Oh,
just
that's nice,
gives man. Me a big hug. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. That right there sealed it for me. And I'm like, you know what? And then it was a great night for us. And I go, you know what? Going forward, this is going to be our tradition. We're gonna get our Christmas stuff out earlier than we're supposed to when mom's gone doing her Thanksgiving thing, getting ready for that, and that'll be like our day and stuff. So it turned out
really cool. We hosted at our house, which is a big deal because we have a big family, and it's a stressful thing to do, and my wife always comments on the women in my family and how well they host parties, like my aunts and my mom, they do such an exceptional job. And so she could get a little stressed out over kind of trying to meet that standard, and she crushed it, man. We had such a, and then she gave the prayer before we ate, and it's the first holiday that we've had since my grandmother passed away, and so we did the prayer. She mentioned that, and my aunts and my mom were just, you know, crying, and it was just this wonderful. And she just really felt in the spirit. She's invited all these people over that aren't even a part of the family. We had our friend Dennis come over.
Nice.
He's like, you know, he has no family here. So he came over and
great dude.
Yeah.
How many people did you guys have this year?
Like 30, something like that.
Oh,
right. Yeah. Because we have a bunch of family up in Sacramento that didn't come down. So it was a smaller, you know, whatever party. But it was a great time. It's so good to invite people over too that aren't people that would normally come, you know. So reaching out to friends that you know, don't have anywhere to go type of deal.
It's like the best holiday for
we brought Danny and Cole.
I know. Yeah, I saw you do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So
how'd they like cool. it?
That was Katrina, actually. Katrina, of course, right? So she was in tune knowing that they didn't have family or anybody there. And so she called them and I heard her on the phone. Oh, I didn't know you were gonna invite them. She goes, yeah, they're not here with family. I just wanted to put it out there. And they showed up and I mean, you could talk to them, ask them what their experience, but sound like they had a really, really good time. Sweet.
It's so great to see, too, all the kids connecting. We had our niece and nephew over from Vegas visiting. I had my cousin sleep over with his little girls, and it was just a full house for like a week. And everybody was just, the kids loved it. We were all having a great time. It was
your house really was nice. Like full for like a week?
Yeah, because I had my cousin and his wife and their two girls, plus our niece and nephew were there.
Now, that's a lot. How was Jessica for the whole week like that?
I mean, godly. That's the best thing I could, that's the best, description I can use. Is she just,
cause I know she's like me. That's a lot.
Exactly. For, you know exactly. Cause it's a lot. It's a lot of noise. It's a lot of mad. Plus it falls on her mostly because you guys know me, I'm a little scatterbrained or whatever. And, but just
now, are you good? This is something that Katrina's really good about. And it helps me in these moments is like, recognizing her in those moments, like, right. Like, you know, like Katrina will come over to me and she knows like all my, like, for example, when well, huge pet peeve of mine is when I'm prepping meat and I'm relying on the other family members to show up on time and present their potatoes and shit like that. And I've got like the main thing that everybody's going to like judge by the meal. Like, is this tri-tip good or not? And it's like, that's a huge pet peeve of mine. And of course, I don't think anyone's ever been on time in her family. I don't think we've ever had the meal at the right time and they're always behind. And so Katrina will see that and know that's something. And then she'll walk over to me and like, hey, you've been such a great support. I know how much it drives you crazy when people aren't. And so just her recognizing that always calms me, brings me down another level. Are you good about doing that?
I am. But she was just at peace and so just open hearted. I think it was the right thing. Because, you know, when you have stuff like that, I mean, this is me speaking through logic, right? You have to expect the unexpected or you have to be okay with just a bunch of chaos. Easier said than done.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great. It was one of the better holidays I think I've experienced. A lot of my family members commented on that as well over just how warm it was. I mean, people didn't want to go home. They stayed so late. We were playing a game where I think it was Deloney's card game. You know, John card game where you ask questions to the point where her niece and nephew, they're both, you know, teenage kids, shy. They don't know my family. My family's loud and in your face. At the end of the night, they were playing with us, you know, answering the questions and just having a total blast. And literally nobody wanted to go home. Yeah. They were there till like 11 o'clock.
I think this was one of our best ones too. If I had like, as far as how everything went too. So interesting.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's fun, dude.
Does that mean you blew yours up or what?
Yeah.
Like, cool.
Way to go, guys.
We're normally balanced somehow. No, Justin's like, this is the worst.
I know. I was waiting to drop. Yeah. So no, it wasn't negative. It was actually a really good holiday. We had in the minimal, actually no drama. I'll be honest. I mean, there was just a few little things that we've had some issues like over the years, like trying to figure out like tradition wise, like where we're going to go with this. And like Courtney and I have kind of assumed kind of the role of like, we're going to get everybody together at our house and be able to host more often and take some of the responsibility off my parents and all that. And that's really helped. And I think like they kind of showed up and finally have like, I think it's taken a lot of time for like, especially my mom to kind of release that
hand
a bit.
Over the
yeah.
Rings.
Hand it over. And so they were really helpful this time and very accommodating. And then my brother was there, you know, with his family. And they also like had his wife's brother was there with us too. And we all got to stay at the Truckee place. And it was great. Cousins got together and all the stuff. We played soccer and basketball and all that. Got a little competitive. And
you got competitive? That's weird.
Just a little bit. Like, rolled my ankle a little bit. You know, got a little crazy with it. But it was there was this moment, though, after Thanksgiving where, I don't know if I told you guys, but so one of our cats had taken off. And we were like, you know, messaging the whole neighborhood. We were on Nextdoor, we're on Facebook, and we're like trying to like find this cat. And it was the one that it's the killing machine one. I really like this cat. Like, he's been very productive. Like, I'm not really a cat person per se, but like he won me over because he was just like super chill, cool, like did his thing, but anyways, was gone. And like Courtney was just like beside herself. Yeah. She's super attached to this cat and was like, get up, and was like, he's dead, because we had all these like mountain lions and bobcats. And so she's every day checking her phone on the cameras, and you could see bobcats just like circling our property. You could see like they're still like pretty active. And so we're just like, oh, we all came to this conclusion, we're like, this cat is dead, like it's done. And she's just like, I can't believe nobody's, you know, like on board with me, because like we all like has still had hope. We're like, I think he's gonna come back. And she's like, no, he's dead. And like Everett starts crying at dinner, you know. And then like immediately when she said that, she gets a text message from one of our neighbors, and it's like, hey, I saw your post on Facebook, and you know, we heard this meowing in a tree, and we're just like, no way, like I wonder if it's him. And and so took a video of it, and it sounded like him, and we're like, that sounds a lot like him. He was up in a freaking redwood tree, like 40 feet up.
Got stuck?
Stuck.
No way.
All the way up, like way the way up there.
How do you get him down?
Yeah, how do you get him down? This is where the story happens. So, like, she's frantic. Like, she almost was like, I'm going to go drive home. Like, you're going to drive, like, 5 hours, you know, middle of the night to get there for what? Like, nobody can do anything until it's, like, light out. And two, what are you going to do? You know, I'm like... Like, so anyway, I had to talk her out of that. And then we made some calls, and I was like, hey, one of my friends is like this volunteer firefighter. And I'm like, maybe he's, you know, available or whatever. He's just a really nice guy. Like I coached some of the Little League games with him and Everett. And so anyway, we hit him up. We hit up some of our other friends, and they all kind of went to meet up and see if it was the cat. And so they're up there like, oh yeah, I think this is the cat. And then my friend Jesse actually, he said that like no firefighters could, they don't have like a truck anymore that could reach up that high unless you get one from like Santa Cruz. It's like the huge, like, you know, 40 foot.
For forest fires.
Yeah. And so that's not going to happen. And so I just kind of chalked it off. Well, maybe we could find like a tree climber or something, you know, the next day we can get like one of those Davy tree guys to kind of go up there and get him. So unbeknownst to us, like he just decides to go there with this 30-foot ladder, and he goes and he climbs up, I guess, takes some of the cat food that one of our other friends had brought and starts smearing it like up there on top of like some of the branches and stuff. And then, you know, Cola, the cat, starts like kind of climbing down and, you know, is interested in it. And so it was really smart. He kind of brought the cat down, but he still was, I don't know, a good 10 feet from reaching the cat. And so he ends up like from 30 feet starts climbing up and like hugging the tree and like hoists himself up and then gets close to the cat. The cat comes down and sees him, I guess, and then like literally like falls off the tree, and he reaches and grabs it midair, like and pulls him in.
And
yeah,
saved his
and
life.
Saved him, dude. I was just like, what are you, like some freaking hero, like superhero, dude? Anyways, it was crazy story and totally unnecessary. You know, I was like, you really didn't have to do that, dude. Like, yeah. Like that's crazy. But like Courtney was like beside herself.
That's super so great. Stoked.
Yeah, it was great. I want to give him a shout out. It was like totally like a cool thing that happened.
You so, buy him like dinner or something?
Yeah. Yeah. We're definitely like
that's
yeah,
so doing nice, that. Dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So it was just great. It was just like, We literally went from like he's dead, blah blah blah, and then all of a sudden like boom, that whole thing happened.
Oh, that's so great, dude.
So it was cool.
We had, you know what was a hit? Was the salted caramel Paleo Valley.
Have you guys busted that out for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. So listen,
it's delicious.
It is good.
It's so good. It's really good. So I come home because they send, you know, our sponsors will send us stuff for people don't know. They'll send us stuff. Well, obviously we have free stuff all the time from sponsors, and whenever they're coming out with something new, they'll send it to us. Well, they only sent us a few bags, so we all use it up very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife couldn't wait for us to get any more, so I come home, she buys a bunch. I'm like, honey, you know I get it for free, right? She's like, I wanted it right now. I said, did you use my code at least? No. No, she didn't even use our code. I'm like, you don't even get credit for it.
Just goes to show you how many people don't do that, you know.
Like, my own wife didn't use the code.
That's funny.
Oh, but yeah, huge hit. So you know what I do with it is I make her coffee with it. So I get coffee, so I'll make like two or three shots of espresso.
Okay.
You take milk, you warm it up really well.
Froth, I can see that being good.
Froth a scoop of the salted caramel in there, mix it with your coffee. It's a latte, salted caramel flavor, zero sugar. It's protein.
Yeah.
It's protein.
I'll have to try that.
It's incredible.
I've been using, really good. I just came off of, what, a 2.5-3 week cut, and what I was doing with it was putting it on a huge thing of just ice and almond milk and making it just like an icy, like a salted caramel icy. And so that's how I was drinking it.
Yeah.
It was low calorie, high protein, and I could make it into this big old icy thing that I could sip on it for an hour, hour and a half of getting some high protein, low calorie.
Oh, it was a huge hit. It tastes so good. Cause their chocolate, I've talked about it so many times. It's incredible. The salted caramel. It's almost like I don't believe it doesn't have sugar in it.
I know.
Because it tastes so much like a holiday drink or whatever. But yeah. Anyway,
it's a lot better than me putting eggnog in everything right now. Dude,
are you an eggnog guy? I had told Katrina not yet. I'm like,
I love eggnog.
Because I'm wrapping the YouTube series up right now, and she's at the grocery store, and she's like, "Hey, you want me to grab eggnog?" And no, I said, "You got another week." I said, "What?" I said, then I'll go ham on the.
Hey, I gotta calm down.
I gotta tell you guys about something that I stumbled into that I think is such a great pick me up for people. You would never guess where you would get this. So. Social media in general, comments on videos in general, they're typically not places you want to go to feel better about anything.
Yeah.
It's usually just the cesspool of whatever, negativity, shit talk. It's just not like, I would never go to a comment section of anything to feel good about life. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I found a place and it's consistent. It is consistent. Like every day is, you know, will come. If you go on YouTube and you click on any Christian worship music, read the comments. Within 10 comments, you'll cry. I promise you.
Yeah.
The comments under worship, in people's stories.
Yeah.
People's stories. I had cancer and I survived. Or please, you know, help me. I was a drug addict and now I'm clean. Like every comment, I got stuck reading these comments. And I started sharing with family members, like, the song's cool. Read the comments.
It's a nice bias, right? Because there's nobody, no assholes going to be listening.
Exactly.
There's not a lot of pricks.
It's a filter.
A lot of Russian bots in there.
Like, they're probably not listening to Christian worship music on YouTube. So you get a...
Speaking of which, there seems to be... You guys know I've been talking about how it seems like there's like this revival in people interested. There was a 20+ bump in Bible sales recently, which they haven't seen.
Wow. 20%?
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Massive. And it's new readers. It's all people who've never owned one before. Oh, so wow. Just to give you some context.
How do they even track a stat like that?
So sites that sell them, like Amazon or whatever, will track. And it's usually flat or negative in terms of growth. There's usually consistent or negative. 22% jump Like recently.
I mean, that fits your what you've been saying for a while. Because I go back and forth. Sometimes I feel like that's you're in your bubble because you're in it so much right now. So you feel it way more than the average person. But then I see other things and I'm like, you know, there does seem to feel like there's this kind of conservative movement that's happening right now. But that confirms it. I mean, that's a 20% is a big jump.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Huge. Huh. Yeah.
Just like in the last like month or so, or is that
I can find
years?
It. I can find the actual stat, but it's very recent.
Yeah. I wonder if it's like, just happening, like in particular. Like
No. It's a very recent thing. They just posted it. So the Wall Street Journal, this is happening this year. So literally over through the end of October. So this year up to the end of October. So 22% in 2024.
Wow.
And just like, again, so you guys know, before that, it's like 1% or 0% or -%. So this is something that now you're seeing articles are being written about, which is kind of cool.
Big shift happening.
Yeah. Now to YouTube, here's some negative. You know, we track trends on YouTube because of our business.
Oh yeah, this is crazy.
And there is there's like flat or negative growth in anything that is personal growth or health related.
Growth negative 30-40%,
which is like what?
Yeah. So it's like,
what are we doing?
There's this negative trend, and where all the viewers are going right now is politics.
Yeah.
Politics.
So that made sense.
People want political stuff.
That made sense to me in the last like a month ago, but right now that's kind of weird to me.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I was like, yeah, I understand that leading up to the election, but like now why are we still like hung up on
it? Yeah. I would not guess that. For sure though, you know, January 1, that'll flip.
I hope so.
Of course. Number one New Year's resolution is always to lose weight.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. Year in year. That and smoking cigarettes, always one and two. So there's no, I mean,
wait, people smoke more cigarettes January 1st? Oh, quitting.
Quitting.
Yeah.
Quitting
sucks.
Yeah. Quitting smoke. Number one and number two. Number one and number two for New Year's resolution has always been quit smoking and get in shape. It was like one and two.
Is smoking on the downturn still, or is it pretty flat? Do you guys know at all?
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
I know vaping for a second.
I know. Do you include that?
No. No, I don't. I would. Look, I bet you can look up stats. Maybe Doug can find stats on cigarettes. On
I don't know, but like it's so abnormal to see. I think that I showed you guys while back about this like golfing
that
girl.
Chick, yeah, that hot like, chick.
Attractive
that's why,
girl.
That's why I'm asking this question because I've seen a couple things now where people are smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, almost like to be rebellious again. It seems like to get attention and be like, well, too, I've seen this other guy who's like getting a lot of traction, who's just like talking shit about like all the chemicals people are like alarmed by. And so he starts drinking. He just like, it's not going to affect me. And just starts drinking like all of these like forever chemicals and stuff.
To show how
just
not.
Just to show, yeah.
Smoking rates are still going down both in the United States and globally. Smoking rates have been steadily declining in the United States with the percentage of adults who smoke dropping from 42.6 in 1965 to 11.6 in 2020.
Wow.
The percentage of daily smokers has also declined from 16.9 to 13.7. Cigarette use has decreased significantly among teens with daily cigarettes. Now, see, this is what would be interesting to me.
That's where you'll see it.
Is the drop, but then have we seen this huge spike in vaping and they're not counting those as in the same group? Mm. Like, what would be really interesting is, let's say, back in 1965, 42%, maybe, let's just say for argument's sake, represents 10 million people. And now it's 11%. So what, that would be a fourth of that, right? So a fourth of that is still,
but would
still,
you make up,
but then is 9 million people vaping now?
Yeah. Like, I don't think so, but I hear what
there's
you're
a lot of people vaping, dude. A lot of people vaping.
There's some nasty effects connected to that as well.
For
the solvents and the chemicals.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Wow, 40% of Americans used to smoke. You know, there's countries that's still way higher. Some of the highest smoking places in the world, I believe Russia, if I'm not mistaken, is one of the highest percentage of people that smoke cigarettes. I know China is really high. Maybe, Doug, look that up. What's the highest, what countries smoke?
I think it's China. I think we've seen this, we've looked at this before.
We did, right?
Yeah, I think it's China.
Just by the way, on the e-cigarettes or vaping is 6% currently.
6% of people do that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not that much. That's not that much at all.
Yeah, not if
you know what's going up are nicotine lozenges.
Yeah.
That's what you're seeing a lot of.
Well, yeah, you've seen that's way people using that for energy and for like nootropic reasons.
You know, it's interesting. Somebody asked me this question on a podcast. I was interviewed and somebody asked me what I thought about nicotine. And I mean, just straight up, it does have some nootropic benefits. It is an interesting stimulant slash calming agent. It's one of the very few things that actually seems to do both. But it's addictive.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the other thing I got to relate.
For sure, so it's addictive. It's been proven.
Do you want another addictive thing in your life? We have enough of those already. So think of something that you already.
Yeah, I'm already struggling with caffeine, so I don't need that.
That's right.
Those are really what are those pouches that all the kids use? It's like super popular.
Zins.
Yeah. Is that what they're called? Zins, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
They make me nauseous.
Is that way strong, dude?
So strong.
One of my buddy had one of the days. Oh, let me have one of those.
Like, oh,
yeah. Well, yeah, guess I wasn't ready for that.
They're pretty powerful, yeah.
They are way more powerful.
It's terrible.
I like the little. We used to have like the 1 milligram gummy.
Half a milligram.
Is it half a milligram? Yeah, those were more. Those were better. I could handle that.
But again, like, do you want to introduce something in your life that's another thing that you're going to have a tough time? Yeah, getting rid of. Like you said, you brought up caffeine, Justin.
Yeah.
And you know, caffeine, if you use it properly, it's not bad for you. But I know how hard it is for me to not have caffeine.
Oh, you can
in
go
into
excess real fast.
Yeah, and I also know how hard it would be for me not have it in a day. Like, if I was somewhere and I didn't have caffeine, I'd be upset.
Yeah.
I don't want to throw one more thing at myself.
Bear to everybody.
You know, like that?
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Doug, did you go to Seattle?
I did.
You did? Yeah. How big or small was your Thanksgiving?
I'd say there are about 20, 25 people.
Oh, you had a big one too then.
So we had it at my sister's house. They're actually going to be selling their house, so it'll be the last year there.
Oh.
Yeah. Really nice, though.
Yeah.
Had some, you know, nephews and
was it mostly family, all 25, or do you have friends?
Yeah, too? Pretty much all family.
I was gonna ask you, Adam, do you smoke the turkey the first time?
So I didn't at Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving, I wanted to try smoking. I've never smoked a turkey.
Right. That's
so
what
I smoked a turkey the week before to test it out. Bad idea to do that on the same day that I was watching my son by myself.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was like
you decided not to do it.
Yeah, because I mean, Katrina said it was all. She said it was good, and I was not happy with how it turned out. And so there's like things that I wanted to figure out and tweak. And so before I present it to 30 people, I like opted out. And and we were having it at Katrina's mom's house, who she has a green egg, which I've never smoked out of a green egg. I know they're amazing, but
what the hell is that?
A green egg?
Yeah,
it's like one of the best smokers you can get.
Yeah, it's a smoker.
It looks like a big
Big green Weber.
Yeah, it's like a giant green egg. And they're well known for being a really good smoker, but they're different. I'm used to my Traeger and it's all digital, it's easy, and so so to be learning to do it, I don't think I hit it yet. And then on top of that, not having my own equipment and stuff like that, I'm finicky about that stuff like that. I did a deep fried turkey and I did the tri-tip for them and hit that one.
Deep fry red meat?
Well, you can deep fry anything.
You could. I don't really would it be know good? That it's good.
It wouldn't be good.
I'm not sure.
I'm making getting a lot of faces.
I wouldn't think so.
Right.
Might be. Who knows? I have nice crust on it.
Is anything bad deep fried?
I know.
No. That's why
I've tried a lot of things that fry. I told you guys. Yeah. I went to that one place in Chicago. They literally deep fry anything.
Of the things that's nice about a slow cook on red meat is how it tenderizes it.
Yeah.
So the slow smoke, that's what makes that so good, is that it slowly cooks the meat internally, and so it's really tender.
Yeah.
So if you were to drop it if you fry it, it fries fast. Like a whole turkey cooks in 30 minutes. Damn. So you would cook that meat really fast. So I don't know.
That would be hard.
So yeah, it would probably be chewier. It probably wouldn't be better. You know, I mean, it would have a real crispy outside, which would probably be good. But I would imagine that the meat
Hard meat, right?
The meat wouldn't be as tender as like a slow smoke.
Apparently, some guy burned down a $4 million house frying a turkey
every year.
Yeah,
every year that happens.
Wow.
Every year, that's like the number one. I believe one of the number one fire hazards is deep fried turkeys.
Give me that fireworks.
Someone on social media was trying to do this stupid post talking about how dangerous it was to fry. Because who was it? RFK was deep frying his turkey in beef tallow.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, this is a fire hazard because the beef. And it's like all oil catches fire.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter what oil you use, it'll catch fire.
Newsflash.
Beef tallow, like corn oil, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's all going to catch.
Yeah.
It's all going to catch fire. Anyway, did you guys, I got a little flashback to our days at 24 Fitness. I saw that Organifi is doing a starter kit.
That came from us.
Yeah,
that came from us. So we talked to Drew about,
and I'm sure you got that idea from.
So I mean, I was telling him how we used to, and I think we've brought it up on the show before about what starter kits were, but they were brilliant, and they used to attach them to memberships back in the days. They used to be they were sold as $100 value that they would sell for $50, and they would wrap it into the price of the membership enrollment fee, and in it was basically like a week supply of all the different supplements that the company sold. Yeah. And it was just a great way to introduce the new client to all these different supplements that you then hopefully get them on later on. And so I was telling him that, like, hey, this is a great way because Organifi has so many products for you to put a handful of like your best products or go through and look at what the most popular products that people buy from us for Organifi. So it's
got a week of green juice, a week of red juice, 30 days of their magnesium capsules, and then a shaker bottle.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Right?
We did talk about that once. I remember.
Try them
we
all did. Out.
Yeah. That is really, I like that.
Yeah,
7
yeah.
days is enough. People will know if they like the green juice.
And yeah, yeah. For sure. And I mean, and again, it gives them an opportunity to try all of it out. And if it's something I think it's called a starter kit too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what ours was called.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah. I'm super interested to hear how it does for them. So I know that I don't know if they are launching just with us or they're going site-wide and telling everybody else, but I know it's definitely something for our audience.
All right. So I want to do a shout out, but for someone I think you would like a lot, Adam.
Me?
Because yeah, I tease you. We always used to joke whenever we'd bring up like carbon dating and you'd be like, well, how do you know it's real? Or how do you know that they're that old or whatever?
Nice.
This guy named Dr. Mark Harwood, he's a PhD and he'll go on podcasts or he's on YouTube. And he'll talk about how inaccurate carbon dating is, how
so validated,
you know, right. that there's evidence for this great flood, how like all and he talks about and he disputes and debates scientists on a lot of these different things. So some of his evidence. Now you've brought this up before, Justin, where you'll see there'll be like something that we know is a few hundred years old, but encased in rock that the carbon dating shows is millions of years old. And we're like, well, how's that possible? And so people are like, well, maybe it was aliens or some weird shit. And he's like, no, it's because the way that the carbon decays and the way he breaks it down, he's like, it can be terribly inaccurate.
Yeah.
For example, he also talks about how fossils can be created under just extreme pressure.
Extreme duress, it could be like
you could flash make
immediately.
A
yeah, exactly. Like it's not something that has to happen over thousands of years.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went down this rabbit hole and watched him again, Dr. Mark Harwood. And I'm watching and I'm like, oh no.
I knew eventually I'd get you. I knew eventually you'd come over here. I knew it.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, it is.
It's cool. If you're into that kind of stuff and you want to go down some rabbit holes and it's,
how,
it's
is fascinating. Is this guy, older guy been doing this?
Older guy, very intelligent.
I wonder if it's someone who I've heard from a long time ago someone had made an impression on me a long time ago that I've always questioned. It's not like I came up with that. I don't know that science, right? Somebody who I like respect intelligence. I was like, oh wow, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I went down this rabbit hole. For example, there's this diagram that I brought up that I'll share with you guys, and it talks about like a cell, okay, like a complex cell, right? A complex cell, and it has, I mean, you've got, you know, microfilaments and microvilles and microtubules, and you've got the mitochondria, et cetera, et cetera. And you cannot, the argument is it's not possible for cell to have evolved step by step because you take one component out and the cell dies. And so the argument is evolution didn't happen in some of these cases where we think, oh, it started from basic organic compounds that became single cell organisms that then turned into complex cells that then turned into complex organisms. It's like, no, there's so many. The conclusion that they make is that the cell is irreducibly complex. And they're saying how a lot of the theory of evolution is a fairy tale. And listen, if you're a science person and you like data and you like logic and you love watching debates, I go down that rabbit hole. That's a lot of fun. Joy Mode has a science-backed formula. It's packed with citrulline, arginine, ginseng, and vitamin C. Now, they all work together naturally to support peak performance. What kind of performance? The kind you want in the bedroom or in the gym. That's right, your two favorite places, the bedroom and the gym. Take Joy Mode 30 minutes to 45 minutes before you want to perform your best. Watch what happens. You and your partner will be very excited. Go check them out. Go to tryjoymode.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump. Get 20% off. All right. Back to the show.
Our first caller is Devin from Georgia.
What's up, Devin?
Come on, what's Devin. Happening?
How can we help you?
How's it going, fellas? Hey, first off, it is a complete honor to be talking with you. You guys have legitimately changed my life. And because of that, I am in turn changing others' lives. And yeah, just the utmost gratitude to you guys and what you do. So
very cool.
Just a big thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'll just go ahead and read my question and we'll just get right into it. Does that work?
Yep.
All right, so I got personal trainer certified late last year and I've been training clients in a local independent gym since January. My clients and I have seen incredible results and I'm slowly starting to gain some traction all by using your programming and wisdom. I personally have lost over 60 pounds since implementing your methods. I attached a photo if you guys can see that. I'm not sure. And in turn, my clients are seeing, I mean, just off the top, one guy started with me in March at about 370 pounds. Now he's sitting at 300 pounds and, wow. I mean, just killing stuff and powerlifting competitions. I mean, it's crazy.
Nice, man. Nice.
Very cool.
So, I have a huge passion for this. I'm still working another job outside of personal training. So personal training is kind of a part-time thing right now. But I'm kind of torn between two things. At the moment, I think I may want to go back and finish my degree, exercise science, kind of go the strength and conditioning route. But I also just have this kind of big passion for the kind of one-on-one body transformation, sustainable health side of things. So, yeah, my main question, like, is this a good move? Should I focus on personal training? And I know it's kind of hard just to kind of see from the little bit of information I'm giving you, but if you do suggest the latter, how do I scale personal training as a legit business and kind of setting myself up for legacy and a legitimate business that I can sustain my family's financial health, like down the road, so on and so forth.
Great.
So
also, great question. Great question. So personal training can definitely be a long-term stable career where you can do really well. And it's very, very, brings a lot of value to other people and to yourself as you're experiencing now. It's like, it's a really enjoyable thing to do and it can be a successful career for sure. The problem is there isn't much training and coaching around how to develop a career as a personal trainer. Are you in our course, Devin?
No, I've been doing all the free webinars. Cool. It's on the radar. Cool. My wife's an accountant, so we kind of got to have everything ducks in a row. And after the holidays, we're going to kind of reassess and hopefully I'll be able to do the next enrollment phase.
Well, here's the deal, Devin. And we'll get into the sports and condition, strength and conditioning there. I said it again, Justin. Oh, man. Strength and conditioning degree. We'll ask about that as well. But as far as personal training is concerned, it's much more than just the conversation that you're going to get here on this podcast. And we'll help you as much as we can, but it's an ongoing coaching process. Just like if somebody asked you, hey, can you help me lose weight and get stronger? You know, you'd say, hey, look, I could help you in a 10-minute conversation a little bit, but not much. That's going to require some coaching. Our course is designed in that way. Okay. So there's nothing I'm going to say now that's going to be more effective than the course that we have. And we walk you through every step, whether you work in a big box, private, you want to do online, we'll take you through and really help you develop and build a career around fitness. So that is paramount. Okay. So strongly suggest that. By the way, you can make payments on it where you don't have to buy the whole thing up front. You just make payments on it. And dare I say, it's going to be more valuable for personal training than any degree you're going to get. I'm just going to tell you that straight up. Now, in terms of working in strength and conditioning, what were you thinking? Like a coach, like a high school team, something along those lines? Okay.
Something along those lines, right.
Okay. The question I would have for you, and that's definitely a route you could go.
There's not a lot of money in that.
Not much money in that. It's also a bit difficult to get into. But that being said, the only thing I would say is, where do you find more of your enjoyment and your passion? There's pluses and minuses to doing that, right? So working with teams, you get to work with athletes. You're watching them compete. It's a completely different environment than working with everyday people and coaching people one-on-one. Like, when you coach people one-on-one, it's a totally different impact. And then the financial aspect, you could do way better as a personal trainer than you would as a strength and conditioning coach. So it's really up to where you find your where your heart's pulling you. What, because this will be what you do for the rest of your life. Yeah. So that's the real question.
The financial side of it. Yeah. It's almost weird to hear. I know, me personally, from hearing you guys, I know kind of sky's the limit whenever it comes to personal training, like finances, personal training. But I think, my mind just keeps going back to kind of the stability of the being part of a school program, something like that, having that, you know, baseline pay or something like that. So that part of security is appealing, but at the same time, I see the other side where you guys say, you know, the sky's the limit of, you know, personal training. And that's kind of the biggest questions I have of, like, the scaling aspect. Like, I see myself day to day now training the clients that I have and getting great progress, but I'm just kind of lost whenever it comes to that next level, that next step, you know.
Is there a big, like, sports performance facility in your area that you could possibly, like, do, like, have a mentorship with one of the coaches and kind of peer in a little bit more to the finances of what they're pulling in? Because I know there's some facilities, you know, that do well. It's not like, I mean, Sal's right in terms of, like, if I was to purely focus on, like, a financial gain in this career, in this industry, just being a personal trainer, servicing a lot more needs of, like, you know, body fat and composition and, you know, everyday average people versus athletes is probably a more sustainable side. But there is options, and there's people that have made it work, and I've interviewed a few of them. But it's to kind of get into that world, it definitely takes, you know, a commitment and a time frame of you being able to kind of, like, you know, build that network. So you can kind of build a name for yourself and kind of move your way up and maybe even get to the college level and then the pro level. Like, Corey Schlesinger is a good example of that as well. But is there any like staple place near you that you can kind of go do some investigation?
Maybe. I know there's a few kind of designated strength and conditioning gyms around the area, but I mean, I'm sure there would be closer, you know, down toward Atlanta. I'm just about an hour north of Atlanta. So, like, looking down that way, I'm sure there would be,
You know,
yeah,
I'll be more blunt about this. I think the degree is a terrible idea. And unless you know for sure you're going into a field that is going to require you to have it in order to do it, and then you're fully committed on that's the direction you want to go. Otherwise, the amount of time and money that you'll invest in getting the degree, I could have you with 7 national certifications, interning with somebody who's a great coach or other trainer, and also scaling your personal training business to make more money than you may ever even make as a coach. Very anyways, much. By the time so let's say it takes you 2 to 4 years to finish that degree, and that amount of time, you know, I've got you making more money already as a trainer and better educated, better certified, and better qualified to be a great trainer in that same amount of time. Less money, more time. The only way it makes sense to me is if you are, like, dead set, I am going to go and I want to be, you know, a D1 coach, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. And so I know part of the requirement is I'm going to need this degree in order to even get my foot in the door. Then by all means, put your head down, bury it, start working. But that is a long, rough path. It is not easy. It's loaded full of politics and connections and people that don't get paid very well and have to do a lot of fucking work to get recognized. And so, I mean, this is what I wanted to do when I first was getting into personal training. I thought that was the direction I wanted also. So this hits home for me. Also, this decision of, do I finish my degree or do I go do these national certs and just build my trainer business? And if you know the story, I didn't finish my degree and I just started doing national certifications and never looked back. And now I understand the full scope of that side and have several friends that are in that side. And boy, they are very envious of the trainer side, the flexibility, the financial ability on the training one-on-one, more so than I am envious of the long, crazy hours and grunt work they have to do for very little pay, just so they can say they're a, you know, sports.
Most people with that degree end up becoming PE teachers. That's just the reality. There's very, very few people that get the glamorous job of being a D1 coach.
And I'll tell you, the D1 coach isn't glamorous. You talk to our friends that are D1 coaches, and they'll tell you it's fucking a grind.
It's a grind. They don't make much. And but, you know, there's also the myth of stability. You know, like, it's more stable if I go get a job at a school. Go be a personal trainer at a big box gym.
Yeah.
Like, very stable, easy. Getting clients is easy there. You build a business, you make more money. You actually have more flexibility. You get benefits and the whole thing. So it's a bit of a myth, you know, and it is a long road. You have to go back to school and continue work while going to school, do the whole thing. So that never appealed to me personally. I've always looked at the stable argument as a myth, and it's true. Look, I've been self-employed, not working in big box. I'm talking about own my own business since I was 24. Here I am over 20 years later. I have lots and lots of friends who worked in the corporate world or worked in the whatever with the quote unquote stable jobs that have gotten fired, laid off or whatever. Meanwhile, I've been employed the whole time and I've done well. So it's also a big myth. So you got to ask yourself, like, I mean, you know, so I, and I'm look again, I, I'm I understand the kind of the direction that the question, but I'll tell you what, I don't know what your current situation is and what your demands are. But whatever decision you make, go for it 100%. Like, yeah. If you have the ability to pursue personal training right now, you're in a situation where, like, okay, I could have 4 months of not making tons of money and kind of building this, or 3 months of, you know, building this. Go for it. Go find a big box gym. Go work there. Get our course. Apply what we said. You will do well. Like, you will. It's literally. Now, the rare occasions are the people that become general managers or the people that, like crush it. But I have yet to meet a trainer who isn't just lazy, who loves what they do, who can just do well just by following what we say. I mean, we train coaches for a long time, and it's not, especially in a big box gym.
Yeah, and I think really building your business first is the utmost importance, and then specializing as you go. Like, you can still have the passion for it, but just you got to see what kind of demand is there and what you can pull in to keep you afloat. So that's something that was a reality check for me too, like for training athletes. It's just, you know, seasonal, inconsistent, and unless, like, you really own a facility and you're bringing all the teams to you, it's a really difficult model.
Yep.
Devin, the best advice is just don't half-ass it. Whatever you decide to do, go all in and do it and commit to it. That's going to be so important. And hey, and I don't know how familiar you are with Sal's story and my story, because it was very similar to this when we were in our late teens, early 20s. And what I said to myself was, hey, I'm going to give it 1 year.
Yep.
I'm going to go all in on this idea or plan. And if it doesn't manifest into the vision or what I think it should be or could be, then it's 1 year of my life. I'll go back to school. I'll go get the degree. I'll go that direction. But I really love this. I really think there's potential. People are telling me I'm good at it. Mm-hmm. I need to fully commit myself to it instead of me having my hands in three different things and just see where it takes me. And in 1 year's time, I had enough. I was ready to go. It was so, you know, nothing says you can't do that, but whatever you do, fully commit to whatever it is.
Like what Ron Swanson says, right? Never half-ass two things, whole-ass one thing.
That's right. That's right.
Whole-ass it.
That's right.
The whole butt.
Yeah, great. I knew that's what you were going to say. I think the whole affirmation thing was, I just needed to hear that from you guys. That's really great to hear. I appreciate
it. Listen, Devin, we just closed enrollment with our new course, which offered a discount, a bunch of free stuff. I'm going to have someone reach out to you and offer, because if you try to get in now, you're going to pay the full price. I'm going to have someone reach out to you and see if they can take care of you.
Incredible. That would be That would be awesome.
All right. We have your email here. If you'd rather they call you, I'll make, why don't you, let's see. I don't know if Doug, he can message you here.
I'll have Kyle set up. If that's his email, I'll have Kyle set up a call.
Done.
So you can talk to him.
Yeah. We'll take care of you. We'll give you the open enrollment rates and all that stuff. So
that would be awesome. Got time for, one last thing.
Yes, sir.
Do it.
You guys were talking about Dungeons and Dragons a couple of
of course.
I was a previous professional dungeon master for Dungeons and Dragons, and you guys talk about that. That was pretty cool. Just you guys should definitely.
That sounds like a really important role.
Yeah,
it is.
You got to come to set us up, man.
I think Justin would like it the most. Yeah, really do.
Yeah.
Wizards.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Yeah. Cool. Let's go.
Well, I appreciate it so much, guys.
Right on, Devin.
You, brother.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, man. I hope I see him in the course.
Yeah,
me too. I hope he gets in there.
First of all, going back to school, he'll pay way more money than our course. It'll give him way less.
Less application.
When it comes to fitness, I'm going to say this straight up. When it comes to fitness, except for maybe the medical field or where these things are required, which is a small sliver of fitness, like physical therapy.
Yeah, therapy.
Yeah,
chiropractic.
Yeah, chiropractic or whatever. Besides those doctors. Small like slivers, a degree is worthless.
Yeah.
It is worthless. Now, if you need the structured education, you don't mind spending 10 times as much to learn half as much because that's what happens, then go for it. Otherwise, it is a complete waste of time and money. When you could do in 4 years with a degree, you could do with a certification course and then go get experience where you're going to learn everything.
Even strength conditioning, you can just get a CSCS and save yourself a ton of money and still have the accolades that you need to get hired for that.
Well, you have
to
get mentored by somebody.
You have to get a degree for a CSCS. You have to have a degree.
You have to have
You have to have a degree in order to even take CSCS.
That's why I got it.
That's why I don't have it.
What an asshole.
That's why I don't have it. But, I mean, nonetheless, in that short of that period of time,
What you could do,
the amount of national certs that he can have acquired on his own pace and own time, the amount of interning or working underneath, because that's what I would do too. It's like, hey, maybe I don't just ditch the whole coaching idea altogether. I still go find a local school, college, volunteer my time.
You're gonna make cool networks of people. You're gonna meet a lot of potential clients and their kids and all that kind of stuff. So it's gonna be valuable regardless. But you're gonna get a lot of data to work with in terms of like, is this really the direction for me or not?
Yeah, I assumed when I was younger that those jobs paid really well.
Yeah.
I did. I mean, I thought you're working with pro athletes and stuff like that. Like these guys get paid good. It's like not at all. So,
yeah.
I mean, and how long?
And the demand, by the way, there's a line of people willing to do that job for almost nothing.
Yeah, which is why that's why most people are doing it for free, volunteering their time, just so they can be considered to get paid not so good money. Like as a personal trainer, you'll do way better. So
our next caller is Corinne from New Jersey.
Hi, Corinne. Hello. How can we help you?
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good. Great. How are you?
I am super excited. I am such a fan. I'm going to start like everybody else does. I've been listening to you guys for about 2 years now. And honestly, you are my motivation to just live a healthy lifestyle. I brag about you to my family, my friends, my husband. I love you guys. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome. So like I said in my email, one of the things that I did bring up was anytime I do like a military press, I get like a clicking sound in my shoulder. Since I've emailed you in July, I've worked on that. I have done physical therapy. I've gone to a chiropractor and I've honestly just been stretching more than I ever have been. And that made a huge difference. So that question kind of solved itself.
Oh, okay.
But my second question has not. In the email, I just said, no matter how active I am, and I don't think I overdo it. You know, I do listen to a lot of what you guys say. No matter how active I am, I feel like I struggle to see, I don't know if this makes sense or like makes me sound vain, but I struggle to see true muscle definition when I'm not lifting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't make you vain.
Okay. Well, it's funny because I listened to your episode on Thursday about like working out for aesthetics and looks. And I don't think that applies to that because I do generally enjoy working out. Like that's, you know, I revolve my life around that, you know, more for like the mental aspect. But I just feel like when I'm not working out and I put clothes on, I don't see that muscle definition for all the hard work I put in.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a
look,
fair
question. To be clear, you look very healthy. You probably are pretty healthy. But what you're asking is to get a little leaner. That's what you're asking, basically. Do you know where your body fat percentage is sitting?
No, I've never done anything before like that. Honestly, I can be an obsessive person, so I stopped tracking macros. I do have like a loose count on how much protein I intake, and it's about anywhere from 115 to 120 grams a day.
Okay.
I weigh 125 pounds, so I'm almost hitting that mark.
That's good.
But other than that, I don't really track anything else because I become very obsessed with it.
How tall are you?
5 foot.
Okay. You're probably sitting in the low 20s for your height, weight, and that you're strength training, you're hitting your protein, which is good. Let me ask you this, Corinne, because this might help. Would your husband say you look really good and fit?
Yes, he definitely does, because I constantly ask.
Okay. So you probably look like you work out, okay? But here's the deal. I'll answer your question about getting leaner. That just means you're going to have to eat a little less than what you're burning. So now definition in women typically shows up around 20%, maybe below 20%. That's where you start to see the lines. Okay. In the shoulders, you know, around 18%, 17%, you might just start to see some obliques and a little bit of outline there, you know, lower back definition. Most women are happy in the low 20s, between 20 to 23, 24% with muscle underneath. Most women are happy around there, but definition starts to happen when you get in the low, like I said, around 20% or a little bit below that. It does require... Okay. For most women, it does, not all, but most women, it requires a little bit more meticulous with diet. Because when you're fit and healthy, most women's body fat percentage will sit right around, like I said, in the low 20s. That's just typically where most women will sit. And there's a range, there's a genetic range there, but that's most women where they're going to kind of be, okay? But to see definition... Okay. It requires a little bit more meticulous. You just have to get a little bit more granular. That's all. And so we'd have to reduce your caloric intake.
Okay. So it's more within like my diet than my actual like strength training and workouts that I'm doing.
Probably. Are you following one of our programs?
Looks like it's in split, right? Right now, currently?
Oh, at the moment, I'm not following your program. So I have in the past, I've done anabolic. I've done the butt mod. Which I love, by the way.
Yeah.
And I've done the split program and I love them. It's just at the moment I'm not following anything. I'm a teacher, miserable teacher, but hoping to get out of the profession. And it's just with school starting, I just kind of lost my motivation. I am working out frequently. It's just hit or miss with what I'm doing. I'm lifting, but they're like 20, 30 minute lifts, maybe a run.
Yeah, we're going to send you Mass 15. It sounds like your schedule and everything going on right now, this would be a good fit for you.
Yeah, do the advanced version of it. You'll love it right now, especially while you're teaching.
So I did. I looked at Maps 15 and I couldn't bring myself to buy it because I'm so meticulous that I felt like 15 minutes just wouldn't be enough.
The advanced version is more like 20 to 25 minutes and it will be enough.
You'll see yourself getting stronger for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay. I can obviously do that at home.
Do you have weights at home?
I have a squat rack. I have barbell, dumbbells.
Oh my God.
Oh, you're good.
It's 4 days in a row too.
You're going to love it.
Yeah. You have plenty for that.
You'll love it. It's about 20, 25 minutes a day with the barbell version. You'll love it. You'll get great results.
Okay.
Yeah.
Corinne, are you, are you watching the series that I'm doing on Mind Pump TV by chance?
No, I am not. That's another thing too, that I struggle with. I don't have any social media. I deleted social media about 2.5 years ago. So I really just listen to your podcast, and that's about it. Is that on YouTube or what? Is that on?
It's on YouTube. It's under Mind Pump TV. Okay. And I've been documenting my process of coming back and getting in better shape. So building muscle, losing body fat. I just think the stuff that I communicate around nutrition and leaning out and seeing definition, I talk about a lot of that in this whole process. And even myself, okay. I get to a point where if I want to keep seeing more definition, that I have to be more diligent about how I track, or I accept like this is kind of where I can be. I can be healthy and fit, and it's healthy. It looks good, you know. But I want more, and if I want more, this is just the. And so I think the way I communicate in the series will be helpful for what you're trying to kind of figure out. So I think we all agree that you're already a healthy, fit person, but you're kind of wanting the next level of definition and aesthetics, and kind of what that transition looks like. You kind of watch me go through that, and so probably be pretty valuable.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wrote that down. I'm definitely gonna watch that. Yeah, and I don't. It's like a little extra into the question. Do you have time? Can I ask it?
Yeah, go for it.
As I feel like Sal, I can relate to you on a lot of things. So getting into the holiday season, I just get super frustrated because my husband and I are relatively very healthy people. And our family, I come from a huge Italian family. Like my dad is from Sicily. My mom's family is from Naples. They revolve everything around food, and they are super judgmental anytime I decline something, or if I say I have to get a workout in, or just with the holidays coming up, I have so much anxiety around it. And I feel like you might be able to relate to that to help me navigate through that and really focus on my health and fitness without their words getting in my head.
Yeah. Well, there's two things. One is I just do what I'm going to do so they can say whatever they want and I'll just do it. But the second thing too is, you know, the realization that, and this took me a long time to realize.
And I have a daughter too. So like, I don't want her to have any negative associations around food.
That's going to be tough coming from our culture, right? Because it's so like, you better eat this, you better finish that and eat this. Right? So that's kind of tough. But, you know, there's two things. One, if I'm going to do something, I'll just do it. And they'll get, you know, they'll say whatever. And I'll be like, oh, come on, you know, I love you, whatever. And I'll just do it. And don't let it bother me. The second thing is the realization that the holidays, you know, the value with the holidays is really, it is about family. And part of it is about food. Now, it's not always about food. Like every time I go to my parents' house or every time they come over. But when I go there for, you know, Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever, I go there and my mind, my focus is on my family. And so I'm just going to be there for that. And that's a very healthy thing. But otherwise, everything else.
I guess what I'm sure the most is like my mom or like my cousins would be like, hey, I just made this recipe that I want to do for Christmas Eve. Do you want to try it? Like, I'm going to drop it off at your house. And I'm like, no, I really don't want to eat cinnamon buns for no reason. If I don't, you know, like it's not a holiday right now. It's just, they're just so obnoxious and overwhelming.
I mean, take a bite of it and then give it to your neighbor. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So that way you can say, oh, man, it was amazing. I tasted it. It's gone. Already gone.
You know, there's only one thing I've ever seen used in my entire life that has made a family member stop pursuing me with food. And that is to tell them that my stomach hurts. Like, oh, no, I can't. I have a bad. My stomach hurts. Yeah. And then they'll leave me alone. You know what I mean? That's the only thing. But I mean, it's just the way it is. You know, that's our culture. Okay. And I get it. Like my mom the other day, she came over and on her way, you know, before they left, they said, hey, we have some persimmons. Can we bring you some? I said, yeah, mom, bring me two. We only want two. Of course, she came with a bag of like 15 persimmons. I'm like, we're never going to eat all these. Right. Oh, you know, don't worry about it. Maybe you want some. I'm like, why do you do this every time? I don't get it.
Right. Well, that's like my mom invites us over. We're very close. She invites us over weekly. And obviously, like my daughter's almost five. I want her to see my family. But she's like, oh, you know, I'm making lasagna. We're having pasta. I'm making chicken parm. And like, they always just rag on me for bringing my own food there, which I do. I'll bring like grilled chicken for the chicken parm, or I'll bring like an alternative for the pasta. And it's not that I don't eat those things, but I'll eat them when I want them. I don't want them every week.
Yeah, no, I get it. You know, I understand. It's just, you just accept it. Cause there's a lot of good things that come from our culture and our family as well. And so it comes, it's like a big package, but you know, when my mom does that, or my dad does that, and they say, why'd you bring your own food? I always give them a kiss. Mom, I love you. You're always trying to feed me. And that seems to smooth it out a little bit, you know, but I get it.
Yeah.
It's not going to change. It will never change. No. Just, you can't no, change them. So yeah, you just got to accept it.
It's not. And my husband is like the most laid back person. So he definitely like grounds me with that. But yeah, that's just something I struggle with because fitness and my health has always been a priority. I mean, I was a gymnast in my younger years for like 14 years. So I've always been active. And I feel like it's just more important the older I get to keep at it. And yeah. I do feel like that the family can be judgmental with that.
Yeah, I get that. By the way, being a gymnast, your height, your weight, I bet you look like you really do work out. You might be a little hard on yourself. You're probably really strong.
I'm hard on myself because I do have a hard time comparing myself to other women are...
Big mistake.
I've always been stocky. I've always been short. I've always had muscle. And I've always just looked stocky. I'm not skinny. I'll never be skinny, nor do I want to be.
You probably have a really round butt. You probably have great curves. I bet your husband loves it.
Big lips.
Yeah, that's probably looks good.
I want to lean them out.
Yeah, comparing yourself to other women is it will never, ever, ever, ever work. I don't care how lean you get, it will never work. That's the thing.
That was part of the reasons for deleting social media is that there was just so much information out there and so many different fitness people and this and that. I just got really overwhelmed and it wasn't great for like my mental health. So I just, took a break. Yeah,
good. That's you did perfect. The right thing. We'll send you Mass 15, okay?
And watch the series. I think you'll.
I am. I'm actually very excited about your series, Adam. That sounds like something that I can relate to.
Yeah, you'll like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Follow Mass 15. You'll like it.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm really excited about that because right now I've just been like kind of piecing together things to get myself moving, but I can't be down there for like hours.
Yeah, no. You'll like the program. It'll really get you'll very get great effective. Results.
Yeah.
And how many days a week is that?
Is it five or six?
Six.
Six. 6 days a week, about 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
Very frequent. So that's why you'll like it.
Okay. Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it.
All right, Karen.
Thank you. All right. Good stuff. The family stuff. I mean, you're not going to change them.
Yeah.
I just feel you have to stand your ground.
You do. Here's the thing. You stand your ground. That doesn't mean they're going to stop pestering you.
Yeah.
So you just accept. You accept. You laugh it. You laugh it off. Yeah. You accept you
shrug it.
And
off.
It's just, dude. And it's just, that's it. And it's the way it is. And eventually they stop. If you get all like butt hurt about it and you get like defensive, it actually fuels it. But if you laugh it off, you give them a hug, you give them a kiss, come on, then they kind of leave you. Eventually they start to kind of get it.
I mean, we don't come from an Italian family, but I had a lot of resistance with Katrina's family.
Well, her family's similar. You guys are similar.
Yeah. And so that was a challenge. I mean, and we got together when I was in the thick of competing. So
which
I literally
is like super.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think half the family hated me because I come over and it was like so disrespectful that I was eating out of this Tupperware when they're all eating this big family.
Meal. Right when you start dating.
Too. But I tell you though, like years later, they all like super appreciate. Now they all come to me and ask about eating and making choices. They always, when they make dinner now, a lot of times they make things that they're like, hey, we made this because we know you'll be able to eat this or you like this. Like, so I don't know. I think that, certain parts of them, they'll never change certain things, but they've learned to appreciate that and the way
your influence can impact them.
Yeah.
And the challenge, and I've had this conversation many times, and it gets better, but it's still like the way that my family shows love many times, especially the women, is by feeding you. And so when you say no, it would be like if I came up to you, Justin, to give you a hug and you pushed me away. I'd be like, what do you mean you don't want a hug? Like, why don't you want my love? That's how they interpret it. So that's why when they would do that and I would say no, I would give them a hug or a kiss. Because I realized they were just trying to show me love.
All right, dude. They felt rejected. I'll accept your hug next time. Jeez.
You like that?
Yeah.
Our next caller is Ryan from California.
What's up, Ryan?
How you doing, Ryan?
What's happening, dude?
Oh, Calgary. I'm all the way up north in Canada.
Okay, CA means California in this country. But I got to tell our assistant to put Calgary next time.
So what's happening, man?
All good. I'm good. I'm doing good. Thanks, guys. I appreciate being here.
Thank you.
What you got for us?
Awesome. So I'll try to make this concise. So like long story short, I used to be a real heavy cat, got up to about 275 pounds in my early teens. Lost a bunch of weight along the way, different fitness, different exercises, the whole thing. About two or three years ago, I got, life, family, kids, business, gained a whole bunch back, decided I wanted to get get fixed up again. So joined a local club here, started doing workouts, and then I did the ill-fated weight loss competitions, and was able to cut down weight over the course of about 2 years. In the meantime, though, probably not doing it correctly. And I ended up late last year in January, February, probably crashing out really hard. So I got down to 155. But ever since then, I've kind of been a mess. I'm constantly tired, super fatigued, just a loss of energy. So I train for triathlon. I do weight training 3 times a week. So I do a lot, but I definitely wasn't feeling great. And I was feeling exhausted and just generally in life, just, you know, kind of really being down. When got tested in May, because I thought maybe it was my testosterone. I'm still pretty young, but I thought it was maybe my testosterone was having an issue. I have it in my family. And the results came out good. So they didn't qualify for me for that. And at the time they suggested it, you know, we're not going to be able to do that for you, but you could look at HCG as an option to see if, you know, we can bump those levels up for you. And I just, I did some research into HCG and I really couldn't find anything that was overly relevant to help me out or to be useful in that. And I just wanted to see if you guys had any feedback on that or some things that I could improve.
If your testosterone feels low or you have symptoms of low testosterone and you're overtraining the hell out of yourself, which is what it sounds like.
Overtraining sounds to be.
Testosterone isn't the issue. That's just the symptom.
Yep.
So, yeah. If you're, are you still training for an Ironman plus strength training 3 days a week?
Yeah. Like I'm on a pretty heavy schedule for Ironman. I'm looking to do either Texas or Lake Placid. So yeah, I'm doing a lot, like I'm 15 hours a week.
And you feel like shit?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think's happening?
But I don't know if that's just the hustle on it. I'm not sure.
No, you're overdoing it.
Yeah.
You can't handle it. Your body isn't able to handle it at the moment.
15 hours of work, dude. 15 hours.
Yeah, dude. You
run a business too.
You got to back way off, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the symptoms that you have, fatigue, low libido, you know, you're not feeling good. You probably have insomnia or crushing fatigue,
yeah,
or both. You know, probably hot, cold intolerance.
Cravings.
Your performance is probably not doing great. You're overtrained to shit.
Yeah.
And here's what's going to happen. Yeah. If you keep going down that path, you're going to get sick and injured, mm-hmm, is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So you need to back way off. So I don't know what you signed up for, but I would back way off. Maybe keep the date. Give yourself a week off completely, get back into it at one third the volume, see how you feel, but you're just overtrained, man.
Can I ask what draws you to the ultra marathon running? That's a very unique sport to get into. What's the draw to that?
I mean, it's, you know, it's all mental for me for sure. I mean, I kind of grew up with a lot of like thinking, you know, I was a heavier dude for most of my life. So I just kind of grew up with limitations in my head. And so I'm just constantly chasing the edge.
Have you done,
you know, what I'm possible, what I can do.
Have you done an Ironman before? Or is this your first one?
Yeah, I actually completed Penticton in August. And then I tried my first 100-miler a couple weeks later. Unfortunately, DNF'd due to heat, but, you know, got up to about 70 miles.
Wait. You did an Ironman in August. Then you did a 100-miler. And then when's this Ironman that you're going to try and do?
The next one would be April, but I'm leaning towards Placid, which is in July of this year or next year.
Yeah, sorry. Dude, take some time off, bro. You're overtrained to shit. Yeah. By the way, HCG, I'll just answer that question. HCG will raise your testosterone temporarily when you're on it. When you go off, it'll go back down to where it was. It's really more for fertility for men than anything, improving sperm count.
Yeah.
But even if you went on testosterone, here's what will happen. Even if you went on testosterone right now and brought your testosterone up to high normal, you would notice a little benefit, but you'd still feel like shit because you're so overtrained.
Yeah. It would just mask it.
It wouldn't even mask it that much. It would mask it a little bit. But you're so overtrained based off what you're telling me. 15 hours a week of training. How long have you been training like this? Did you stop at all after your last ultra run?
Yeah, I took like a 2 week break.
Yeah, you're fucked, bro. You're so overtrained right now. You're so overtrained. It's not even funny,
bro. I wish I could.
You ever recovered from that?
You know, the reason why I asked like this whole ultra marathon, because a guy with your discipline, boy, I would love just to get a hold of your metabolism and put some calories in you and lift some weights to build. Because right now you're not doing like you lifting weights 3 days a week on top of all this running.
No, it ain't doing nothing.
It's doing nothing for you. It's just more overtraining. Like you're not. You could take off all the weight training and not see or notice.
You'll feel better.
Building what happen right now. Yeah. Because your body is so overtrained.
Yeah. I think that's partially the issue too. Because like. Yeah. I can't drop weight and I can't get anything lower on my gut either. You know, I still have that little paunch in there.
We need a build.
Yeah, bro. You need some muscle right now.
If you're okay with like changing direction, if this is an option, Ryan, here's what I think you should do. I think you should stop all the stuff you're doing right now. Go hire yourself a strength specific personal trainer, like somebody who's good, not someone's going to beat you up. Start strength training with a trainer about 3 days a week and that's it. And then hit your protein targets and watch your body transform.
Yeah.
Watch it transform.
Yeah. Resurrect it.
I mean, a guy like you with your competitive attitude and edge would do really well actually signing up for a powerlifting meet and hiring a powerlifting coach to actually take him through that process.
You could do it that way, but I'm just saying.
Just all strength focused.
Your body would change so radically with so much less effort. Like you'll blow yourself away. Right now, your body right now is in survival mode. You're barely functioning because your body is maintaining its bare minimum functions. That's why your libido's gone. That's why your energy's gone. That's why you probably sleep like shit, all that stuff. And why your body is holding on for dear life for whatever little body fat you have, because your body is in survival mode because you've beat the crap out of yourself.
And just to not to just continue to hammer you here, but bro, and you're young.
I'm good.
And you're a young guy. So for you to be feeling symptoms like this at a young age means you are really hammering yourself.
You're redlining.
Because we are resilient, man. When you're under the age 30 and stuff like that, you're resilient as shit.
He's in his late 30s.
Oh, are you 30s?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were in
38.
Oh, okay. I thought you were old. You're not old, but you're definitely been hammering yourself for a long time and your body's screaming at you right now to recover. And if you want to get rid of that pooch or belly fat that is still that stubborn fat, you need a reverse diet, build muscle, and then come back down again after that. And it'll go away.
If you went and worked with a good trainer 3 days a week, strength training, started hitting your protein targets, slowly reverse diet, you would see a radical transformation in your body and you would feel so different. By the way, if you take my advice, I'm going to give you another warning. You'll do it. You'll start to feel so good that you'll think about being the shit out of yourself again. Don't do it. Just stay the course. Don't keep adding. Just stay the course and watch what happens. It'll free you up, by the way. 15 hours a week for feeling like shit. Like there's so many other things you'd be doing.
You could go build another business, bro. We'll give you enough time to go build another business and get jacked. Yeah. You a lot of potential here though, dude. I know the effort that it takes to train for Ironman and Ultra. Like you got some serious discipline and grit in you. If you could just shift that focus.
Yeah, you've proven that. Now let's just focus on strength.
Yeah. You focus on getting strong and taking care of yourself. And you're going to see incredible results. If you're open to it, you gotta be open to it though.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest issue is patience, right? So obviously, you know, like if I'm not going hard, I'm not patient on it, but you know, I hear you.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, you like going hard and getting no results?
Yeah.
True. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, dude. So it's not patience at this point.
Right. Placed energy.
There's another word for it. It's not patience. If you want results, stop doing what you're doing. I'm telling you right now, if you stay on this path and don't stop, you're going to feel worse than you do now. And or something bad's going to happen injury-wise or something like that. It's just inevitable. So back way the hell off. Focus on strength. If you don't mind dropping the Ironman. And then watch what happens to your body. Within 2 months, you'll be blown away.
I would love to put you in our private forum, give you MAPS Powerlift, and send you on your way and keep in touch with us. That's what I'd like to do.
And I'm 100% down because what I've been doing ain't working. So
okay,
gotta try something.
All right, we're gonna send over Powerlift. I'm gonna get Doug to put you in the free form, and then I'd love for you to check in with us on a monthly basis. Just let us know how you're feeling, and good, bad, indifferent doesn't matter. I want to hear from you, just hearing what's going on, because what I'm most concerned about is what Sal was already alluding to is like you getting in your own way. probably doing really good in 30, 60 days and thinking you need to do more or hammer yourself harder. Or, and I want to make sure that I stay on top of you, of stay focused, do what we're telling you, and I promise you're going to be all right. So check in with us on a monthly basis and let us know what's going on, Ryan.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm down for that. And I really appreciate that. That's honestly probably what's been sitting in the front of my head anyway. It's just, you know,
awesome.
Being real about it.
Awesome. Good. Awesome.
There you go.
Cool. I'm excited for you, dude.
Yeah, so am I, bro.
Serious potential right here. So I can't wait to see what happens.
Thank you, guys.
You got it, man.
All right, Ryan. Thank you. See you in the forum.
He'll gain 15 pounds of muscle so fast.
Bro.
Just from doing this. I mean, I'm not exaggerating.
And no. Strength trains.
By the way, I've trained several Ironman competitors. And I'll never forget the first one that I trained. I took them on as a client, and I started strength training with them twice a week. And I remember twice a week and trying to be smart about everything, and they weren't progressing, and they were complaining about aches and pains and doing crap. I was like, what is going on? I backed way off to one day a week, two exercises, and then we saw them progress.
Yeah. You know, that's what I wanted to put them on MAPS 15. I'm just afraid that
that's too little.
That's what I'm afraid of. I thought the reason why I went powerlift for the audience, so they know like why there, because I do think MAPS 15 is more ideal.
It's just more direction. It's like a direction.
Yes, powerlifting. Exactly. Yeah. He'll have a goal. Yep. It'll be like trying to get stronger. I'll let him take his little obsessive personality and apply it in a healthier way, and then I'll get him to go MAPS 15.
And he won't get stronger if he overdoes it.
Right.
And that's what he's going to see in the program.
Spoken like an experienced personal trainer. This is what you have to judge and you have to, you know, really contemplate as a coach or a trainer, is what is the best answer, and what factors in there is what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So powerlift is probably not the perfect program, but he ain't going to follow the other one.
That's
so
right.
Therefore it makes it the best.
Yeah, if he paid me 6 months in advance and he's now locked in with me, I'm making him do MAPS 15 and I'm running the show.
Sure.
But I don't got that kind of power and control over this guy. And knowing from my experience, that type of personality,
totally.
You take them from running 15 hours a week to all of a sudden, two exercises, you're done.
Yeah.
He'll fucking go insane. Yeah, or he'll do it for 2 weeks. But this isn't working and I'm out. You know what I'm saying? So this is my, hopefully get him moving in that direction.
Our next caller is Nicole from California.
Hi, Nicole. How can we help you?
Good morning.
Okay, so I'm going to get right into it. I have kind of a long backstory, but I'm just going to give you a brief. 2 years ago, I started MAPS anabolic for the first time, coming off of like a really restrictive diet and a lot of cardio. And I actually was on your show like a month or two after I started anabolic. And you guys had told me to do a reverse diet and focus on getting stronger, because I was sort of uncomfortable with my growing upper body size because my shirts were all getting tight. So I tried to do that, and I wasn't successful at not putting on weight. I actually gained like about 8 pounds, but I got my calories up from probably like an 1800 or 1900 calorie maintenance to like 2400. And I was just getting more uncomfortable with my goal getting further away from me as far as my body size and dress size going up. So I've tried to do cuts, and it doesn't really ever work out for me, because when I focus on counting calories or weighing food or any kind of mindset of restriction, I tend to do what I call like a reactionary eat. It's not like binging or anything, but I just rebel about it, you know? So I kind of panicked this summer, and I thought, well, maybe, because my weight just kept going up, I should drop a day of weight training and start to do more cardio to try to shed some fat. So that was my question that got called for today. But I have a follow-up question that I think is a little more relevant if we have time.
Okay. Let's first address the first mistake that you made early on, was thinking that the 8 pounds and going from 1,800 to 2,600 or 2,400 calories was not a huge success. That's a massive success. First of all, 2 or 3 pounds of that is mostly water, just because you're increasing your calories by that much. Carbohydrates, sodium naturally goes up. You're going to hold more water. You're automatically going to see the scale go a couple pounds up just from water retention, period. Okay. Then you probably built some muscle, and we're on the road of building a incredible fast metabolism. So you thinking that that wasn't good is the direction we probably needed to keep going. And getting to a place where maybe you're at 2,800, 3,000 calories. Is this it right here, Doug?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
You did great.
Yeah.
You did build some. How much stronger were you during the reverse diet, by the way?
So when I started lifting weights, I probably was squatting like around 85 pounds. And I think the highest squat I've gotten is like 135 for multiple reps. And I can box squat like 160. And then bench press, like my highest that I can bench is about 95 to 100 pounds for like a single or double rep.
She looks phenomenal.
Yeah, now this looks phenomenal. Let me ask you this. You went from a 65 or 85 pound squat to one something within the reverse diet period?
Yeah, but then I didn't really get any higher. And when I was on my original call, I think Adam had said he would push me like in 6 months to get up to like 185. I've never gotten to that number on my own.
No, okay, but so hold on. So you started with what squat and you ended up where again?
Probably like 85 when I first started using a bar. And then I can do like 135 for probably like 8 reps at least.
Yeah. You're doing great.
No, you're doing phenomenal.
You're doing really good. You know what?
You just needed me in your ear constantly telling you you're doing a good job. You're heading the right way.
It's so mental. It is so mental, this entire process. You might have gone up a tiny bit. I think you might have gone up a tiny bit body fat at most, but you definitely.
I think it was like 1%. I had a trainer use calipers. You went like a year apart.
1%? That's within the margin of error, too.
Yeah.
You look like you gain mostly muscle. Yeah, so you're definitely moving in the right direction. And yes, you will feel bigger because you built some more muscle.
I am. Yeah. My diameter measurements are all much bigger than I'm used to being.
Yeah.
And my weight on the scale is a lot higher than what I would consider like a comfortable level for me.
Yeah. It's a tough building muscle, especially for women. Can be such a mind
very psychological game.
Very, very difficult. But you went up from 1,800 to 2,400 calories, built essentially all muscle, got a lot stronger, metabolism moving in the right direction. And if I recall, when we were on the phone, I know you wanted to build your legs, which it looks like you did. And I remember, you know, talking about getting leaner. You know, going down from 1,800 calories, you don't have much room. But at 2,400 calories. Yeah. You had some more room to go, but I still wouldn't cut so quickly. I would wait and let everything solidify a little bit before cutting, because otherwise your body will adapt again very quickly. At doing more cardio, less strength training, you'll burn more calories initially, but then the body adapts very quickly to that.
Nicole, I think it's important you hear this also. I seen three pictures that were sent over. I don't know if you sent any more or not, but I seen three pictures. I see looks like an older modeling picture of you when you were really lean. And then I see the before the bulk and then the bulk. You look the best at your heaviest, just so you know. Okay.
At 155?
Yes.
That was the heaviest. Yeah. And right now I'm like 151.
Okay.
And I don't change my shape that much. You can just see a little more definition when I drop down to the 140 was when I was doing a cut at 1,800 calories, but it wasn't sustainable for me.
Yeah. No. And that's why I would keep moving you up. Yeah. So the goal would have been the original goal. I told you, keep pushing that direction to where we get your calories so high that when you come down to say 2,400 calories, which is probably more sustainable, nice, you know, flexibility in your diet. You enjoy that. You can be lean. That's, we just got to keep reverse dieting it. But I mean, even at the 153, I can still see your abs.
Yeah.
Like you look.
Yeah, that's my leaner area. I definitely carry it on my like butt thigh area.
Even your thighs and your butt, they got muscle shape. They don't look like you got a bunch of fat. It looks like you put on muscle.
It's a tough mental game.
Really is. I think you can see I'm coming from like a pretty small frame.
Yes.
How tall are you?
5'5".
Yeah, you're in a good place. I mean, keep moving in that direction, you probably need to get rid of your scale.
I stopped weighing myself regularly. Yeah. That's been really helpful. I don't track my food at all because that has not been good for me.
Good.
I just eat like you guys tell everybody to, and I'm very good with protein. I cook all my meals from scratch. I love to cook. I eat, you know.
Yeah, I think you're doing so good.
Yeah. I don't see any flaws here.
Yeah, I love the programming. I actually tried cardio a couple times. I hate it now. So I just do, I just do 3 1-hour training sessions a week, and I love them. But my big hurdle that I'd love to bring up, if you guys have time, has been my sleep. So for the last 4 years, I really haven't been able to sleep past 2 a.m. And I don't really know what changed. I'm 42. I had a baby 4 years ago too, my second. So I thought maybe it was that whole just coming out of being a mom and then waking in the middle of the night. But she sleeps fine now, and I still wake up every night at 2 a.m. And I've tried every supplement that you guys have recommended, every night routine that you guys have recommended. And now I've started to dive a little bit more into taking things. Like, I won't take an Advil if I have a headache. I am a very natural person. But in July, I ended up going to a naturopath, having all my hormones checked. And they had recommended taking progesterone to help me with sleep.
Yep.
And I also got on some testosterone cream because it was like my testosterone was sort of on the low side, but everything was in normal range. And none of that helped me at all. I took it for 3 months and I've taken melatonins and anything else you can do that's natural. And most recently in the last month, I started taking THC gummies, which I don't drink alcohol. I don't do drugs. I'm a very like straight edge person. And it's the only thing that's actually helped me sleep through the night. And I think my tolerance has started to increase. So I've had to double the dose to once I wake up, I can go back to sleep. It like keeps me drowsy enough. And I've gotten about a month of the best rest I've had in 4 years. And I'm wondering, has that been the major hurdle that I've?
Could be.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. If you've been, if you've been struggling with sleep, that'll affect everything. I would go back to the naturopath and look at progesterone still. You know, I've worked with lots of female clients where, especially in the age range between 38 and 45, and they found the right dose of progesterone, and it really did help make a difference with sleep.
Do you follow? Do you follow our friend Dr. Lauren Fitz?
No, okay. No. I took the Cabral test that you guys came out with a month ago on your podcast. The sleep, it was like the evening cortisol one.
Yeah. How was your cortisol?
It was right at the border of normal and high.
Okay.
That's not too bad.
Okay.
Yeah. Take a look. Look up Dr. Lauren Fitz on Instagram. She's got a lot of really good content speaking to this. And I would love for you to get with her.
Do you try to eat?
I would message her for sure.
Have you tried? So this actually makes a big difference for some people, is eating carbohydrates before bed or at night with their last dinner, with their last meal.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have like potato or rice or whatever for my dinner, but I eat really early, like 4:35 p.m. because I've got little kids, and then I'll sometimes have a little snack, but it's usually like a Adam's yogurt bowl dessert kind of thing.
Okay,
and I assume you've already done like magnesium and stuff like that. You've already gone down.
Yeah, okay. All of it. I've done all of it.
I figured that.
Like every adaptogen you can imagine, and I hate to take like considered a drug, THC, but it's really the only thing that's helped. And I don't know if that long term is actually like real sleep. Is it going to be beneficial if I can go back?
Well, you're not comparing it to good sleep. You're comparing it to 5 to 6 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Right. So in the context of I sleep five to six hours,
it's an upgrade compared to that,
or I sleep 8 hours, but I'm taking THC, it's better. Okay. It's not better than sleeping 8 hours without it, but you couldn't do that before anyway. So I wouldn't worry about that. But again, I would go back to the naturopath and look at working with the hormones again. I've had a lot of success with clients on using, in particular, progesterone, especially women in your age group.
And also, somebody who is trying to balance all this stuff out hormonally and is not getting the most optimal sleep and has the results that you have really speaks volumes about your discipline around diet and exercise. Yeah. So I just want you to know that. Like, it's important that you understand that what you're doing in the lifting and diet world, I think, is perfect. And I think the results show that. And I think that getting this figured out, getting the hormone and sleep thing, it may be the thing that unlocks the next level of seeing results. But you've been able to get those kind of results while also trying to figure sleep out after having two kids and being in your 40s. You're kicking ass. You need to make sure you know that, because you're pulling a lot of the right levers already. We just got to really solve this sleep issue and get to the bottom of that, because that might unlock another level for us.
Yeah, which is what I've been trying for 2 years, but I feel like in the last month the only thing that has helped those gummies, and I feel like I'm in a really good place, like I said, with my training and my food. So that was where I wanted to talk to you guys about, what is that last little piece that'll get me just feeling a little more comfortable in my skin.
Yeah, I get that.
I think the reaching out to Dr. Lauren, I'd love for you to get with her and dive more into the hormone side, because that's above my pay grade, and she's far, far better at that than any of us are. And I think she's going to be able to help you. And then the advice, I'm going to stick with the original advice with you, is you keep going in that reverse diet direction and building muscle. And the goal is ultimately just to keep getting the calories up so you can come back down. It's not a place you're going to live at forever. Yep. So I don't want you to eat. You don't have to eat 2,900, 3,000 calories and be 165, 170 forever. But you're heading in the right direction based off of what I've seen already. Like, you're putting good muscle on. Even if you put a little bit of body fat along the way, just remember, it's not the end goal. It's just to get your metabolism up, and then we can come back down the other way. And then I think you'll be happier with what you see when you lean out from speeding the metabolism up. 1,800 calories is just not sustainable for you right now, and we got to keep reverse dieting. That's the only thing I would do right now as far as diet and exercise wise, and then the next thing would be diving deeper into the hormonal stuff.
Okay, I hear you for sure on the hormonal stuff. As far as the reverse diet, I don't know how comfortable I am pushing my calories back up right now, but I see what you mean. Like, I can't sustainably cut from here. I'm probably around 2,000 calories now at maintaining this weight.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your steps? How many steps do you take a day? Are you pretty active?
Oh, yeah, like 12,000 to 15,000.
Yeah.
You gotta get calories. You know what? You're doing everything right. I think that the sleep is going to make a big difference if it hasn't already.
Yeah, I mean, it's only been a month. I don't really know how quickly that will help out after being sleep deprived for 4 years.
Oh, it's going to take 6 months probably to start to get all that back. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I can keep that up somehow, and then I'll check back in with taking maybe bigger dose of progesterone or something. We'll just see what they say.
Yeah, that's why I want you to talk to Lauren. She's really like honed in on like the ratio and balance of all those. And I know that a lot of the stuff I've heard her talk about is outside of what the general practitioner would talk about, the ranges, and she's found sweeter spots for women. I mean, she specializes in women your age that are trying to solve this. So,
okay, that'd be helpful. I'll look into her. The naturopath actually that I went to, I didn't really love because she wanted me to take the two different hormones. And then she also recommended I get on a GLP-1 to lose like 8 pounds. And I just didn't really trust.
Oh, yeah. You're not a GLP.
Herself, she was a really very thin woman who runs, and she said that she takes it just to keep that extra 5 pounds from menopause off. And I just didn't understand why you go that drastic.
Okay. I don't think you're a good candidate for GLP-1. No. That's not what we're,
I don't even like taking Advil. So I just, it's not my lifestyle choice.
Sure. Okay, good.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Let us know what happens.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, Nicole.
The sleep, that's a tough one.
I mean,
that is a tough one. You know, a lot
outside of that, she's doing really well.
You know, by the way, you know, women late 30s, early 40s, it's not uncommon to see these issues with sleep and then not be able to figure out what the hell's going on. And the hormone stuff, in my experience,
that's a big role.
Has been the biggest game changer for a lot of women. So,
yeah, I know. I there's also she's got a couple things too, that the image of what I don't know how old she was in the modeling picture, or like that. But that's not even a healthy version of herself. Right. Like, and so first of all, you have to get rid of that idea that's not even a good goal to even want to look remotely anything like that. The way she looks right now, she's in a very, very healthy, good position. But I get what it's like to feel not comfortable in that and wanting to be a certain size. But the answer still is the reverse diet and get the calories up so that when she comes down to 2,000 calories, she can be leaner and still eating more.
That's right. Look, if you like the show, come find us on Instagram. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump DeStefano, and Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.